Hello everyone and welcome to Silent Pressures. I'm your host Demi Urca and today we're uncovering the hidden weight social media places on our lives, how it fuels knife crime, shapes toxic masculinity and silently influences our youth in ways many parents don't see. These are the silent pressures that need to be discussed. I'm joined by the amazing Amanda Stevens, the mother of Ollie Stevens who tragically lost his life in 2021. His story is a heartbreaking reminder of the real world impact of online behaviour. This podcast is in memory of Ollie, so I'm so grateful to have Amanda here to share her story and her strength. Amanda, thank you so much for being here. To start, could you just tell us a bit about Ollie, what kind of person he was, and what role you believe social media took in his death?
Yeah, of course. Thank you very much for inviting me on. Ollie was just 13 when he lost his life. He was a larger-than-life character, very funny, very warm-hearted, and just a pleasure to be around. He got into things wholeheartedly, really, when he found something he wanted to, you know, he was interested in. He was diagnosed with autism spectrum just a month before he passed. Ollie's life changed, I feel, from the moment he got given a mobile phone when he was in the last year of primary school. And I think it opened a window into a world that really wasn't safe at all. So I feel very passionately now about children being smartphone free and being very aware of the dangers of being online.
Thank you so, so much for sharing that. Like, I've said this so many times before, but like, thank you so much for raising such an amazing person. Like, he brought joy to my life, so many of my friends' lives, and I was honestly truly lucky to know him. But obviously, last time we were on this podcast, we discussed a bit about the idea of people, of young people trying to like protect their parents from the things they see on social media. And I feel like this is something that resonated with you. Is there anything that you wish more parents understood about what young people are exposed to online?
I think parents' naivety is terrifying. I can look back and feel like as parents, we thought we were acting really quite responsibly with Ollie's online time. He would be in front of us on his phone. He even showed us off his phone on occasion, and we couldn't see anything on it to be concerned or worried about. And it wasn't until after, in through the court process, that we found out, you know, all the things that were happening in and around or about Ollie online at that time. And since when we've joined a group of bereaved parents for online safety, and it's just absolutely tragic, the stories that we're hearing about the loss of their children and what's happened to them.
I feel like it's just so sad because the parents, like, it's not their fault, and I feel like they can never be blamed because they didn't make this world. Like, it should be the creators of these apps who should be held responsible, and they should be the ones to put safety in place for young people online. But I feel like educating parents, like what we're doing today, this is just such a good start, because the more people talk about it, the more people are going to be aware, and we're going to be able to start to make a change. Do you know what I mean? Because obviously, I've seen that you started a charity called Ollie's Work. Is like, what's the main mission behind that? What change are you hoping for to create through the charity?
I think with Ollie's Work is to break this stigma, I think, behind children and I guess really what they're living with day to day. So it's to raise awareness to parents and also to children to know that we kind of know what they're seeing and we think it's absolutely abhorrent. And for parents to know as well the danger really that their young children are in. I can look back and I can think we almost felt proud of giving Ollie his first smartphone, you know, like it was a rite of passage, like it was something really cool and really good. And, you know, I look back and I think, gosh, you know, there were odd occasions where he would seem upset about something in the early days. And I remember being really quite cross about it and thinking, oh, I wish he didn't have a phone. If he hadn't had a phone, he wouldn't have seen that content that would have upset him. But I don't know, a lot of us parents that have lost our children almost sort of see it as you think your child's safe, they're in their bedroom, they're you know, they're on their phone, you know, under your roof. You think that should be, they're safe, But being online is like them being out in the middle of the street when it's pitch black and you just don't know who's surrounding them, who's speaking to them, you know, who wants to kind of bring them any form of harm.
Exactly.
It's to get that message across, really, to parents.
And I feel like also online it's a lot harder to ask for help. I feel like a lot, like there are lots of terms, for example, that I feel like parents aren't aware of. I mean, you know, like the term patterning. I feel like this is something that I was introduced to when I was around 10 or 11. And that's just something that parents would never even be able to like think of. Do you know what I mean? And I just feel like there's so many trends on social media that are just almost like grooming young boys into thinking that violent behaviours are like normal. And it's really bad. It's like, it's almost sort of a competitive, like, before I did this, I did like a survey, an anonymous survey, and like asking what terms they feel like parents aren't like aware of on social media. And a lot of people said kill or get killed. And that came up multiple times. And I feel like the fact that that's something that's just so normal that people just feel like they can just put into a survey, it just shows you how awful it really is to be online.
I think it's children get desensitized because of what they're seeing and hearing. And I almost feel like with Ollie, he would have been seeing all these things. And he was a really sensitive boy. And I don't know why he didn't at any point say, oh, God, you know, is this right, Mum? You know, he didn't, you know, it was that feeling of that almost he was in a different world that was nothing to do with his parents. And really that he had to be able to almost stand on his own two feet and not expect any help. That was the feeling that I got from him.
Yeah, I feel like the pressure to be tough or to not like back down contributes to the sort of violence that we see in teenagers. Like lots, I feel like it's almost they feel like they have something to prove, and like because videos get shared online so quickly, like in a second you can share a video and it will be viral. So if there's a video, for example, you being patterned, that's something that people will mock you for or humiliate you for, and that's not something that you should be ashamed of or have a fear of. Do you know what I mean? These things shouldn't exist.
No, it feels just so unkind. That's and Ollie was really kind, and it feels the complete opposite the world that you're all having to live in and have been brought up in. I mean, I pray now that more parents will delay giving smartphones until the Online Safety Act can really clean up what kids are seeing online, what young people are seeing online. But I mean, we had no idea the world that Ollie was living in. And when we saw kind of like images that would be shared, the way that kids speak to each other, it's so violent. It's so, you know, that would have felt the norm to him.
Exactly. And also, I just feel like it's such a big jump from primary school to secondary school, because I feel like it's we're in year seven when all of a sudden everything all hits you and you get introduced to all of these things, and it's just such a massive change. So I feel like there should be, I know that I am aware of there are a few, but I feel like there should be more courses for children year six going into year seven to sort of like educate them and what they're going to be going into, because I mean, it would have helped me a lot when I was that age. And I feel like also, obviously, I know that there are some courses now, but even courses for parents to educate them on what's going online, I feel like that would be very helpful.
Yeah. It was interesting what you just said about people feeling like they can't almost back down in an argument, because what we saw with what happened to Ollie was the kids were just like building themselves into this frenzy of like hatred. And it was almost like if the boy hadn't have done what he'd done, or those boys hadn't have, that they would have lost faith. Because they haven't sort of followed through on it. But you see, in real life, and I say real life away from a phone, you get that time to calm down, talk to somebody, you know, rationalise. But online, nobody's checking or policing what's happening. Exactly. And these arguments build up so intensely, so quickly, and nobody's stopping it. No one's stopping it happening.
I know, honestly, it's just awful. And I just feel like it just comes with pressure, like because the online world, everything's shared so quickly, like I said earlier, everyone can see everything. I feel like you have the pressure of feeling like the whole world's looking at you, if you know what I mean. Like, if I don't do this, will everyone shame me for this? Will I look weak if I don't do this? And I just think that just spirals out of control. It's this sort of butterfly effect, which ends up in violence, which really, like, we need to change it.
You know what? I felt like I've learned a lot in the 4 and a bit years since we've lost Ollie about what's happening quite quickly. But until I watched Adolescence,
I was going to ask you. I realised that.
Yeah, I hadn't known that that's what boys were living with. I didn't understand any of the emojis. I didn't understand any of it. I thought, gosh, that's news to me. I remember years ago people getting cross about Andrew Tate. That was it. That's all I knew about what boys are living with.
I was literally going to say to you, I would say out of all the shows that I've seen, like, that is the most accurate representation of what young people are exposed to. Like, I couldn't even watch some parts of it because I just thought, like, this is too realistic. And I feel I feel like it's also a good thing because that, like, sparked so many conversations. Like, it was in the news, everyone was talking about it. So I feel like the fact that this has started more conversations, it's good that these sort of shows are being made that actually are realistic. I feel like it's good to educate parents, but also it is very sad and scary.
Because
I also, like, some of the stuff in the show I didn't even see, but I went to my little sister who also watched the show and she'd seen it. So it's even, like, it's developing now for, like, people younger than me. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're now experiencing things like these emojis and everything. I didn't know anything about that. But when I spoke to my younger sister, she was like, oh, yeah, Demi, this is normal. This is what's happening nowadays. And even I wasn't aware of that. So it just shows, like, even it's starting to now affect the younger ones. And we need to stop it because I don't want, like, I said this in my other podcast with you, but I don't want my younger sister to have to go through what I went through with Ollie. Do you know what I mean?
No, I know. Yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, I kept thinking about that boy and it was the way that they filmed it all was just amazing. And it felt so real that, like you were saying, at times you just didn't want to watch it.
Yeah.
But he got himself into that situation where he got himself so angry and he just, he couldn't almost accept that he'd done it even afterwards. Like, he'd been so in that moment of what he'd done and then in denial almost of what he'd done.
No, yeah, but, exactly. Yeah. When I was watching it, until I saw, like, obviously the tape, I thought, I didn't believe that he had actually done it. And then I saw that and I was like, oh, like, wow.
Yeah.
It just...
There were little things that kind of I thought, oh, like, Ollie at night at things, he would, like, want to be on his Xbox or on his phone or, you know, and so when the mum said something, like, she said, oh, sometimes I woke up in the night and there'd be a light under his door and I'd see he must have been online, but I didn't go in. I just spoke through the door and said, oh, you need to get to sleep or whatever. And it's that whole, from a parent's point of view, you have no idea what is happening online, and that does need to change.
I know, but I also feel like, as sad as it all is, I feel like parents shouldn't blame themselves because it really isn't their fault. Because, like, these social media apps should have already put this stuff in place. If they're capable of making filters to, like, filter out what people are saying, that is all possible. If they can create the apps and they're capable of making filters of what we can see, I just feel like it's all because it makes them more money. Do you know what I mean?
And totally.
And they don't understand the damage it's actually doing to young people.
You know what? Last week, we're part of Barista Families for Online Safety, and our counterparts in the States joined with, I think, 6 families from the UK, people that we know who've lost young people to online harm. They protested outside of Meta's New York offices last week, and they took pictures of their children and they gave speeches. Wow. And it's just that frustration, and I felt it after we made the panorama Ollie story.
Yeah.
Where I think I just even said in it, like, if the social media companies had been in the field that day and seen what had happened, surely they would do something. And I remember after filming it and thinking, things will change now, and nothing changes. And even now with the Online Safety Act, you can't really see them tweaking or doing. And you're right, they could change something in the flick of a switch.
They could.
They know how to do it, but it's making them money.
I know, and it's really awful and just honestly selfish, because I feel like when I was younger I would see stuff in the news, but you never really think that, like, you never think it's going to happen to you, and when it does, it's just such a reality check. And I mean, I wouldn't wish it upon anyone, but like you said, if they would have seen what you saw that day, then it would be changed. I just, but that shouldn't have, they shouldn't have to go through that or have to see what you see for that to be a change. They should just, it should have just already been thought of before these apps were even made.
Yeah. I think something as we're going around and doing assemblies now in schools, something we are hearing about from Reading schools is that they are stopping having phones in schools now. And I just think it's good because it gives a bit of a break through the day until social media is cleaned up. It gives a break away from that pressure. So yeah, that's made me feel happy.
Yeah. What how would you say that building Ollie's work has helped you personally, like in your process?
Oh gosh, it's a godsend. I don't know what we'd have done without Ollie's work, but I remember Stuart saying really quite early on, we've got to do something, it's just so wrong. And now I can feel really proud and look back that, you know, now it is more common that there are programs made, that there is, you know, assemblies happening in schools, there's mentors in schools, Parliament are doing something. It does feel like there's more awareness, which is fantastic, but it's just the speed of things changing for the better is so slow, going through Parliament and rolling things out. But I think the general public do have more awareness of it, and I just 100%. I'm just hoping that people are going to take seriously, you know, when your kid's in primary school, really they don't need a smartphone, please just don't give them one.
No, yeah, 100%. What are your hopes for the future of Ollie's work? Where do you see it going in the next few years?
I think we have big aspirations that we'd like things to be on a more national level, so every child in the UK should get the same education, help, training, and that goes to the parents as well, to understand 100%. The world that children and young people are living in. Everyone should have that education and support. I'd love to see that there's more funding for youth clubs and for mentors and for this kind of training to happen from the government. And I'd just like people to be aware that when children do what they do, there is a reason why they've done it. And it's not okay just to feel cross and annoyed and upset. I think we've all got to look at every child and really understand what they're living with and going through that could potentially put them into a bad situation.
Yeah, 100%. Like, what kind of change would you like to achieve online in schools, or even how we speak about these sort of issues?
I think openness is one thing, because Ollie didn't really talk to us about things, and it's probably because of the way that we reacted. If he did tell us something that we didn't like the sound of, we'd be like, oh no, you know, panic, I want to try and sort it out and you know, muffle in. So it would be for parents to be a little bit more, take a step back and just think, okay, I don't need to 100% fix this, but I just need to listen and be there and help support my person, my young person. So that would be one thing. It's from the parents' point of view. From the kids' point of view, I just would like you to all feel that you've always got someone to go to, that you have other people that you can kind of go, is this right? Should this be happening? Or, you know, what do I do in this situation? It's to have that help, really, and guidance as you're going through something that's new to you.
Yeah, I agree, because I feel like the world of social media, although you're surrounded by so many people, it can feel so lonely. And like I said earlier, like almost everyone's against you. And I feel like even us having this conversation now is sort of, it will help someone out there, and it will help spark more conversations, so people do feel like these conversations are more at ease and not so pressured, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Like, these conversations just be normal and something that everyone's aware of.
That's it. Because nobody wants social media to disappear, but we just want people to feel safe and be safe on it. You know, there's just so much more to life that's sort of about kindness. It's about happiness. It's about, you know, living your life to the fullest, that social media really has just knocked everyone for six, I feel, in a negative way. And it's just to kind of try and move away from that and be there for each other.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, Amanda, thank you so much for sharing your strength and your story. Your courage is really helping others wake up to what we are really going on behind the screens. Children are glued to every day. So to everyone listening to this conversation, if this conversation has moved you, please don't let it stop here. Talk to your kids, ask them what they're seeing on their phones, check their phones and know who they're talking to, because social media isn't just a distraction. It can be dangerous, and awareness is the first step towards prevention.
Yes, it's very true. I'm just smiling to myself because I keep looking out in the garden and I keep seeing a robin appear. And as you know, I always think of Ollie when I see robins. So I feel very much he's part of this conversation, Demi. It's really lovely.
Oh, stop. That is really lovely. Oh, well, thank you so much for joining me today. I think Ollie would be so, so proud, and that he would be so proud of everything that you're doing to just make change in the world.
Oh, and that goes for you too. I think Ollie's friends have got a big legacy ahead of them with Ollie's work. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I'll see you later, yeah?
See you later. Take care. Bye-bye, darling. Bye-bye. Bye.